It's Marketplace Tech for August 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. No matter how many mysterious clouds you've seen go up in the office or elsewhere, smoke-free e-cigarettes and the vapors they emit are still in the sights of government regulators. Congress is currently debating how and whether the Food and Drug Administration should make rules concerning this new technology. But local municipalities and business organizations of all kinds are taking the matter into their own hands, as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Reviews of all e-cig products would be impossible for the already swamped FDA, says Thomas Kiklis, co-founder of the Tobacco Vapor Electronic Cigarette Association. He's also worried the industry would have to pull products from the market.
Every e-cigarette company, every e-vapor company has to take every one of their products and individually submit that to the FDA.
Meanwhile, some cities are making their own policies on e-cigs.
I think we could wait a long time for the federal government to decide, but I think our community had already decided.
Esther Mannheimer is the mayor of Asheville, North Carolina, which has banned e-cigs from public buildings, parks, and buses. She's not swayed by those who worry the ban hurts people trying to quit traditional smoking.
Well, they can try to quit smoking not in a park, I would suggest.
Or in some universities, restaurants, and, of course, on planes.
Smoking, including the use of e-cigarettes, is not allowed on any Delta flight.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The industry of e-sports, or watching pro gamers play video games, is so hot right now that it's filling stadiums. It's also changing the way game makers are doing business. Latest evidence, Microsoft just increased a prize for its Halo championship to $1 million, almost seven times what it was a year ago. Today, the company is presenting at the conference Gamescom in Cologne, Germany. Halo, the game where humans in spacesuits battle other humans and aliens of all kinds, is a big deal for its parent company. So says Dimitri Williams, associate professor at USC Annenberg's program on online communities.
A AAA title like Halo is super important to the sales of the Xbox. And so if they're someone on the fence and they haven't bought an Xbox, maybe this new cool Halo game coming out will be the thing that pushes people over the edge. Because the more people that have the Xbox, the more money that they can make from selling Halo and all the other games.
As cool as Halo might seem to people who were playing it daily when I was in college, Williams says other esports communities around different gaming companies have sprung up in recent years and surpassed Microsoft in gaming culture cred.
Esports is about as hip and authentic and cool as you can possibly get in gaming right now. It's a very lucrative area, and less traditional companies have been making a lot of money and getting a lot of brand value out of it.
Dimitri Williams at USC Annenberg's program on online communities. We'll see if today's Xbox event brings more news of the company's plans for esports. The Obama administration this week released some fairly ambitious new rules on power plants called the Clean Power Plan. And a big part of the plan is to decarbonize our electricity system, removing the use of coal power, for instance. Thing is, it's not like turning off the coal power switches and flipping on the wind and solar switches. Managing power sources, especially in a grid that uses more renewables, can be tricky. The smart grid future the White House envisions means a lot of computing power as well. Marketplace's Scott Tong from our sustainability desk joins me now to talk more about it. Hiya, Scott.
Hey, Ben.
All right, the power grid. Even before adding in renewable energy, how does it work now? Give me a little reminder here.
You know, you might assume, like the Flintstones, there are a bunch of stegosauruses kind of flipping levers in the background there. Yeah, but actually, it is so complicated. I went to visit the grid operators of New England.
Okay.
It's called the ISO. And the control center is like what NASA looks like, these giant screens. And they have to look at everything. They have to look at which power plants are sending electricity into the system and who's buying it. And they have to check the frequency of the transmission of electricity. Frequency is kind of like the blood pressure of the grid. If it goes too low or if it goes too high, it starts to freak out and we have blackouts. So you start to realize how complicated it is even before we start adding in renewables and trying to make the grid smarter than it is now.
And I guess those aren't always super steady sources of power?
Yeah, the big word is intermittency.
That doesn't sound good.
Right. It doesn't sound very healthy, medically healthy either. the sun is out and you get solar power and boom, a cloud comes.
Sure.
Well, if you run the grid, you have to make up for that supply immediately. And to do that, you need a lot of technology. You need computers who can process this information, and then you need software to say, okay, this is how this affects our forecast for tomorrow. It's the highest tech kind of air traffic controller. It seems like it's almost impossible.
All right, Scott, the saying is we have the technology, right? Well, do we have the technology? Are we there yet?
The Bionic Man exists in Germany. There, they're up to 29% renewables already.
Not bad, Germany.
And the thing is, it all costs money.
Is it also true maybe that our technology is maturing enough that some of the stuff is feasible in ways that it didn't used to be?
That's what the proponents say. The stuff gets cheaper the more you scale it up. And I think those are kind of the contours of the debate are, well, how much is it really going to cost to take this whole country, right? And as the EPA wants it to be, they want renewables to be almost 30% of our system by 2030.
Scott Tong of Marketplace's Sustainability Desk, thinking big thoughts about the smart grid in our future. Scott, thank you, man.
All right, you're welcome.
And just so you know, yes, the Lexus hoverboard we recently talked about in our Back to the Future series is supposedly real, totally real, and we'll get an official release beyond a teaser video this week. I read a piece on the website Gizmodo saying that riding the thing is super hard, but also super awesome. We posted a link with a video at facebook.com/marketplacetech. You can also find us at Marketplace Tech on Twitter. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.